All right, thanks for joining me on another episode of The Unbroken Ground. This is podcast. This is season 2, episode 17, and the title is going to be... I've been thinking about that. There's a couple that are kind of bouncing around my head as I think about what I want to talk about and kind of the title. And I think it's going to be Where's My Breakthrough? Where's My Breakthrough? So it's season 2, episode 17, Where's My Breakthrough? Just kind of one of the things that's kind of been stuck in my head thinking about John the Baptist and Jesus' response to him when he was in prison, and also then Hebrews chapter 11, the very end of the chapter, and just about faith and how in our culture we have made faith to kind of be this thing of our faith is strengthened when God answers our prayers, as though there's some kind of currency of faith that only through that faith can God answer the prayers, which I'm not saying is not a thing, that a lack of faith, it seems in the Gospels at least, seemed to cause Jesus to not be able to do some of the miracles, but also that there is a kind of this understanding that if you have enough faith, then God will just make sure that you don't have any disease, that you have all the money or food that you need, or that you want, not even that you need, but that you want. And so, yeah, we're going to talk about, like, what does it mean to have faith, and what does it mean to have a mature faith? So strap in, check it out. That's what we're going to be talking about today. As always, you can catch me on the Facebook / The Unbroken Ground, or theunbrokenground at gmail.com, or you can always find me on Instagram at the underscore unbroken ground underscore something. I don't know. Search for Unbroken Ground. You should find me there. Let's jump in. So, where's my breakthrough? I think there's actually a kind of a folk religion, as I've been listening to and reading through a book about the mosaic of Christian belief, and there's a theologian who's kind of put together a systematic theology book, or an intro to theology book, and he talks about the folk religions that kind of pop up when you have a large amount of respect for Christianity, or a lot of things that are based on Christianity, but they kind of reject any kind of systematic or even intellectual considerations, So I think there's a folk religion that pops up around this idea that God wants us to be blessed with material things, or with success, or with he wants to see all of our dreams accomplished. He wants to see all the plans that we have come to fruition. And I think that one of the reasons we have that kind of false understanding or false expectation is because there's this sense that in the Gospels, Jesus talks to us a lot about the fact that if you pray, if you ask in my name, if you ask whatever you ask for in my name, then God will give it to you. You'll be, you know, God is a good father. He wants to give you good gifts. And so We tend to kind of extrapolate out from that what that means is that God loves us, and because God loves us, then he wants to give us gifts, and he is the good father who gives good gifts. So then, of course, he is going to want to give us all the gifts, and so why wouldn't he just give us the desires of our hearts? But the truth is, at least as far as I understand it, as I read through it, is that God is a good father, but he is very concerned about your heart and less concerned about the successes that you receive on this earth in this time, and more about how he can shape your character for eternity. And so there is a spiritual truth that our faith is strengthened when when we either hear an answer from God of no or not yet, or what we feel like is silence. And that's the places where our faith grows. So some people would say, well, if you just had enough faith, you could ask for whatever you want. You know, so Jesus says, you know, if you have faith, you can, you know, tell a faith of a mustard seed, right? It's a small amount. If you've got that, you've got that faith, then you can just tell a mountain to go jump into the sea and it will. And I think that Jesus is obviously speaking a little bit in hyperbole here, but I think it actually is a reminder that faith, it actually doesn't have to be huge in order to accomplish great things. Like, God is drawn to our faith, whether it is extremely huge or not. So that's why I think that's why Jesus is like, look, if you just, you know, faith the size of a mustard seed, which is a really small seed, is all it really takes. And I think that it is also important to remember that it is through the difficult times that we learn how to trust God, how to grow our faith. And so a lot of times we look at our life and we look at our circumstances and we assume that if things are going well, then we've done well, and God, we have enough faith, and God's rewarding us for our faith in a sense. And we assume if things are going poorly, then that we're being punished, or that's the way a lot of times the world looks at it. And I want to give a shout out to my friend Alyssa, who I interviewed for the fourth episode of Called Out. If you haven't listened to that yet, go ahead and after you're done listening to this podcast, check that one out, because it is an amazing one. The story is amazing. It's nothing about me, but just amazing. But one of the things that she talks about is, like, she often felt clearest the call of God was when she felt uneasy because there was about to be a really difficult time to come. And I think it was such a different way of looking at things, because I think a lot of times we feel like if there's difficulty, then that's a possible sign that God's ready for us to move. He's ready for us to call us to something else. Oh, it's difficult here. I need to get out. And it's a very human thing to be like, I'm not comfortable. I don't feel great about what the circumstances I'm in. I'd like to be out of this situation because it's hard and difficult. And so we pray, God, you know, rescue me, God, save me. And what she felt was that it was just this, it was actually part of God's, like, pressing in to get her ready to be able to face something very hard. Like, the calling was, hey, things are about to get difficult. And things got really difficult for her. And I'm not like trying to just veneer paint over something like, oh, this wasn't really that difficult. Things got really difficult, including she lost her husband unexpectedly in a car accident. And that was part of her call to ministry. And so faith is the place that faith grows is in the hard and difficult times. And when we begin to kind of label or address the world through the eyes of what, again, kind of a folk religion of things, of thinking like, well, if God is in it, then it'll be successful, right? We've said that before, I think, as a culture, like, well, if God wants it to happen, God will make it happen. If God is in it, then you'll just have an extreme amount of peace about it. It'll just be easy. But the fact is that God a lot of times uses the difficult circumstances to help us grow our faith and be closer to the type of people that God wants us to be. He shapes us through difficult times. And so, which is a little bit different, because a lot of people today kind of preach a modified prosperity gospel a lot of times. Like, God, it's like God doesn't want our lives to be difficult. If you just follow God and you do things God's way, then everything will be, you know, easy and done. And it sounds really good from people who are having a really easy time of it. it sounds really good from them, and they really like that if you're having a good time, because no one wants to go through the hard times. No one wants to go through the times that challenge our faith and make us ask where God is and why are we in this and what's happening and where's my breakthrough? Why, you know, I think that that question is very personal to me because it's just been a season of, and it's not just my life and my family's life, but, you know, friends just going through some terrible, difficult things, and some of them are seeing God's blessing through answers to prayers and removing some difficulties, and some of them are not. You know, Jesus doesn't heal everybody. Jesus doesn't keep everybody from dying. They, in fact, most of his disciples, his closest disciples, were martyrs. They died because they were proclaiming his name. So the fact that we've equated kind of comfort and ease with faith is actually very counterintuitive and wrong. And I'm going to talk about three stories in the Bible. Three passages or two stories in one passage. So the first one is John the Baptist. And some of this is coming from, I think Mark Buchanan does a great take on him in Spiritual Rhythm, which I talked about last week or the week before. But it still remains. And I think actually, if I remember correctly, Irwin McManus talks about it too in The Barbarian Way, but I could be wrong. But either way, here's the thing. John the Baptist, the guy who is clearing the way for the Messiah, who's announcing the way of the Messiah, he was the one, he baptizes Jesus. So he went out and lived in the desert and ate locusts and wore fur at first. It was a little weird. I mean, we'll just call it what it is. He was not like normal people, didn't do normal people things. But he was the one who was given the task of being able to baptize the Son of God. And as he saw the Son of God's ministry kind of develop, and as he saw that kind of grow, I think he got a little bit bolder, and I think that he fell into some of the same misunderstandings of what the rest of the Jewish people at the time thought was going to happen, which was that the Messiah was going to return, and he was going to overthrow the current government, both the Roman oppressors and the corrupt Jewish one. And so the king of the Jews, Herod, you know, kills, allegedly, probably not too allegedly, but kills his brother, marries his wife, his brother's wife. And John's like, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't be marrying your brother's wife. It's weird and creepy. Don't do it. So Herod gets mad. I mean, Herod, the whole line of Herod's are pretty insane and apt to do some pretty atrocious things. So this is not too shocking, but Herod gets mad and he has John arrested. And so John is in prison. And the deal is that Herod hates him because he's kind of calling him out on his sin, but he's also a little afraid of him because the people know that he's a prophet and he's worried. I think he might even be a little worried, like maybe he's right. Like, is it, like, I'm the king. Why can't I just do whatever I want? And John is kind of calling him to carpet on that. And I think there's a little bit definitely of he's like, I don't know that I'm totally in the clear on this. And so he was actually kind of intrigued by John the Baptist. But John's in prison and Jesus is doing ministry and John is sitting in prison. You know, this is the cousin of Jesus. And he begins to question, he begins to question his understanding or his faith in what's going on here. So John sends his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one, or should we wait for another? And now, why does he ask this question? Well, the reason he asked this question is because he has been in prison. He's been in jail. And he was kind of anticipating that, you know, Jesus was going to overthrow some things. And your cousin in jail, the guy who baptized you, is some pretty great motivation or reasons to do that. And so he's like, hey, I noticed you haven't come to get me out of jail. You could. I believe that you could. I think that you could. I don't think there's anything keeping you from just unlocking jail cells. You could do pretty much everything else. Are you actually the Messiah that's been promised, or is there someone else? And it's pretty plain, at least in some ways, to understand what John is asking. Like John the Baptist is saying, have you left me here? Have you forgotten about me? You're healing all these other people. Am I not worthy of your time to be saved? And so Jesus says to the disciples that John sent, tell your master, the blind see, the lame walk, the sinners are forgiven. Which is Jesus' way of saying, I am the one. But it's also Jesus' way of saying, I'm not coming to get you out. I'm not overthrowing the government. I'm not, that's not the kind of Messiah I am. I know that as a nation, as a people, you have been desiring this Messiah that will come and kick out the Roman occupiers and the corrupt Jewish system and establish a new rule, establish a new kingdom. And Jesus does do that, but it's not the way that people thought that he would. They thought he was going to establish an actual physical kingdom, and the kingdom of Israel is going to be restored. And that's not what happens. And so John, think about this, right? John the Baptist, the guy who was deemed worthy enough to baptize Jesus Christ. I mean, if you want to talk about faith, like someone who had some bona fides for believing in some faith, it would have to be John. And yet John sat in the prison cell and he wondered, Jesus, are you really a Messiah? I mean, he told some of Jesus' disciples, there goes the Lamb of the world, the Lamb of God. He's the one that's going to take the sins away from the world. And yet, as he said in the cold prison cell, he was like, well, this is not what I expected. This is not how I thought life would be. I thought, like, surely it would be different. And Jesus says, I'm not coming for you, John. Like, I'm just not, you know, that's not part of the plan. And John had faith. John had John had confirmation. John knew that he was to baptize the Messiah, and he did. And yet he still struggled. Because he was like, if I was the anointed enough to be able to baptize the Messiah, why am I in prison? I mean, I spoke out. It's righteous to say that the king is doing stuff that's not right. I'm not wrong. And yet John did not get saved. You may know the story, you may not. But the story ends this way. Herod's daughter does a dance, pleases Herod. Herod says, whatever you ask for, I will give you. And she asked for John the Baptist's head on a platter, and he delivered. You can hear John's, I think, question, where's my breakthrough? Where's my miracle? Where's my freedom? I'm doing the right thing. I did what you wanted me to, God. Yet here I am in prison, suffering from this evil king who is going to take my life. Jesus, are you the one, or is there another to come? Jesus, where is my miracle? I think John asked that. I think it's something that it's very human to be like, I thought we were kicking this thing off, right? I thought we were going. Let's do it. And Jesus is like, no, that's not what we're doing. There's a passage in Hebrews chapter 11. It's known as the faith chapter, and it goes through the faith heroes of the Old Testament, and then it gets to the end, and I want to read that to you because I think chapter 11. And I want to start with kind of the first part of this section, which is 32, because they've just spent 31 other verses just proclaiming the faith heroes for the Israelites, the Jews, down through the Old Testament. And so they do all of these. We get to 33, and he says 32, and it says this. The author of Hebrews says this. It says, and what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon or Barak, Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. And then in the middle of that verse 35, when it says women receive back their dead and raised to life again, there's this hard turn. It takes a hard right. And all it says, and then it says this, it says, there were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The whole world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. So you have to understand that the author of Hebrews is saying, you have all those faith heroes. You have Abraham and Noah and Moses, and you have, and I can't even talk about it because I don't have time to talk about David and Samson. And he said, and you have them. And on the same level are these people who lived and suffered and died without seeing their reward. This is what this is, and they're the same level. They had the same faith. Had the same faith, but vastly different results. And so this is what it says at the end, 39. It says this. It says these were all commended for their faith. See, they were heroes of the faith, but they remember what they were. They were killed. They were sawn in two. They were destitute, they were persecuted, they were mistreated, the world wasn't worthy of them, they were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what it had been promised. Well, and here's why. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. They believed, they lived in the hopes that God would redeem their suffering, that he would restore them from their brokenness. And yet, here in the Bible, it just tells us that didn't happen this side of heaven. And the truth is that some of us, some people, maybe all of us, some are blessed, it seems, or a little bit lucky, and they don't experience this kind of walking with Jesus. But it would seem we can join in those ranks. to gather in those faith heroes that said, man, we suffered, we begged, we pleaded, we wanted, and yet we didn't receive what we had hoped for. There are some people that receive healing. Cancer, gone. Addiction, gone. Anxiety, gone. Pain, gone. Diagnosis, changed in a moment by the power of prayer, by the power of faith, by God just moving. And yet there is equally as many that the same people pray for, the same faith, the same level, and they don't get better. They pass away. It gets worse. It gets harder. The Apostle Paul tells us that he had a thorn, right? He had a thorn in his side. And we don't really know what it was. And there's some speculation as to what it might be. I don't really want to get into the speculation of what it could be. But what I do want to highlight is that Paul said, I have this thorn in my flesh. And I prayed 3 times that God would remove it. And after the 3rd time, God said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I mean, if you were going to, you know, list anyone that clearly had faith, clearly had that faith to just ask for anything, who experienced things, I mean, you know, getting bit by a poisonous snake and surviving, just shaking off, you know, shipwreck, floggings, facing near death, stoning. I mean, on top of that, his whole Damascus story, right? Like he's turned blind, and Jesus speaks to him and through a voice and says, hey, Paul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You're Paul from now on. You're going to take my, like, if anyone had the right amount of faith to remove something from their life, this thorn, whatever it might be, it would have been Paul. And yet God has a message for him that's like, no, I'm perfecting you. My strength is being perfected in your weakness. I am working in your weakness to perfect you, to help you grow. And that's where we grow. Like, we grow in the hard times. The harder they get, the more we have a chance to grow. But we also have a chance to stop growing, like to give up. Like, and I think that's the difference here. Between whether there's faith gained or faith lost. Like, I think in every circumstance, it's okay to ask, God, what are you doing? God, where's my blessing? Where's my breakthrough? God, where's my miracle? We're praying for this. We've been praying for so long. And God says, keep believing. It's almost a foolish thing to do, right? But it's what God calls us to do, because as fools, as believers, we just believe that things could be different, things could be better, that God can move, that there are miracles that could happen. Like, it's, and some of us don't get to witness those things firsthand. We hear about them secondhand, or we hear about our friends who go, we prayed for this and it happened. And yet here we are, we're praying for righteous things. Not even, you know, like, we're not just praying for a new, brand new, like, heavy duty lifted truck or something, or millions of dollars in the bank. We're praying for salvation. We're praying for healing from cancer, and we're praying for pain to be relieved. We're praying for hurts, hearts to be restored. And the answer is no, or not yet. And so we're left to wonder, are you the one, or is there someone else who was coming? And there's actually this paradox that happens. Our faith grows stronger when we choose to believe, even if we don't see the answers to our prayers. I think this is one of the reasons that Jesus tells his disciples to keep praying. Keep praying. Because it is something that grows our faith. Our faith grows when we choose to believe that God is moving and at work and doing things, even when we don't see it. Because that's what the very nature of faith is. It's believing the things not seen. It's believing in the things that don't have proof. It's the foolishness to say that God can step in and change how things can be. And I believe it. It strengthens our faith. It's paradoxical because we think that you would think that your faith would be strengthened and sometimes we make like these big bargains and guarantees like God, if you just answer this prayer, then I'll become a missionary to Africa. God, if you want me to know that you're real, yet what those are not mature questions to ask. Like those are the questions of a child. Our faith is strengthened when we go through the hard things, when we ask God to change those circumstances or change those situations, and he doesn't, and yet we still choose to believe and ask. That is where our faith grows stronger and stronger. And we get encouraged when we see other people have their prayers answered. Love to see prayer answered. That's awesome. It's amazing. We get encouraged by that. But I just want to say, if you're in a season where you're not seeing your prayers answered, when you feel like you're just holding on, when you feel like the people on the back half of chapter 11, who waited and wandered, and though they had great faith, they didn't receive. I just want you to know you're not alone. You're not alone. Jesus in the garden, he just wanted people to be with him because he felt the aloneness. He prayed the same prayer that maybe you and I might pray, which is, God, I don't like this. I don't want this. If there's anything you could do to take this cup from me, do that. But not my will, God, but yours. Our faith grows in the answer when God answers with no or not yet, or even just kind of, it makes it like we hear silence. You're not alone. Find some believers, ask them to watch and wait with you, to pray with you, to encourage you, and then keep going. Keep moving forward. Our faith is strengthened when we believe in God, even when we don't see the immediate answer to our prayers, or even if we are long-suffering in our prayers. It's one of the things that our faith grows because we say, God, I'm more than every day I'm reminding myself that I have to depend upon you because I want to see this breakthrough. I want to see this healing. I want to see this person saved. I want to see X, Y, Z, whatever it might be. But God, I haven't seen it yet, but I know that you can. I have faith that you can. There's no guarantee that you'll get your way, get your prayers answered, that life will go exactly like you want it to. I mean, John the Baptist, who had the honor of baptizing Jesus, wound up in prison and beheaded. Many of the disciples who had the honor of getting to see, touch, feel Jesus, hear Jesus, wound up being martyrs, killed because of their faith. Our faith is strengthened in the very hardest of times. And that may be all you can do is just hold on to that. Just hold on to those, saying, God, you're challenging me, and I'm just going to keep believing. I'm going to strengthen my faith, God. I know that you are bigger and better and stronger, and that you could do whatever you want to do. And so, God, until you move, I'm just going to keep praying this. And even if you don't, I still believe. That's what the three that get thrown into the fire say, right? They say, Nebuchadnezzar, dude, you can throw me in the fire, and my God can save me. But guess what? Even if my God chooses not to save me, I'm not bowing down. Even if he chooses not to save me, I would rather face death. I'd rather face death than to turn away, to give up, to forsake my faith. And so that's the call for us, for those who are going through those times. If you're not going through those times, God bless. I mean, I'm awesome. I mean, trust me, I've spent a lot of my life not going through those times, and it's, and then you get in those times, you're like, when will this ever end? And it feels never ending, but I want you to know it will. It will. Cling to Him. Strengthen your faith by just reminding yourself that you believe. Whether you see it or not, whether you tangibly see God's movement or not, do you believe? And if you do, that's one way to strengthen your faith, to grow in your faith. It's a paradox. It's a paradox because we would think that answered prayers is one way to grow in our faith, but it doesn't require much faith if we don't ever have to go through anything difficult, and we don't have to deal with no, or even a wait, or even a delay, or even a silence in when we ask. It doesn't require much faith if everything we ask for is just yes and now, and you get it and snap like a genie or like Santa Claus. It doesn't require a lot of faith. That requires very little. And so God in His wisdom wants to grow you in your character, your long suffering, your faith. And so guess what? There are going to be hard times. And if you're going through hard times, you're not alone. Find people to join in with you and pray for you and pray with you, because you don't need to feel alone. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. He is perfecting us through our weakness. God, may you reveal that to us this week. May you show us where we can have faith more and more so that we can follow you. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you tune in next week. Hope this blesses you.